This is WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. A growing number of states are trying to address the opioid epidemic with a tool that's commonly used in Massachusetts, which has come under scrutiny in the past year. It's the involuntary commitment of people for addiction treatment. And state lawmakers here are considering making changes to the commitment law known as Section 35. WBUR's Deborah Becker has been reporting on Section 35 and is with us now to talk about it. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Bob.
So first, Deb, lay out the debate about involuntary commitment.
Well, Bob, on the one hand, there are many loved ones, primarily parents, who say that a person who is actively using is not rational, so they need an option to try to force their loved one to stop using whatever substance it is, to get their head clear, and potentially to save that person's life. I spoke with Denise Bohan over the past year, and she believes that involuntary commitment saved her 33-year-old son.
This is a last resort. It's not something you do like just in a whim. This is really a desperate act of trying to save your child's life.
Now, Bob, others say that the research does not indicate that forcing someone into treatment is effective. There's also a lot of debate about using jails and prisons as treatment facilities when people are committed.
Dive a little deeper into that. Explain it.
Well, the Section 35 law allows a loved one or some professionals like law enforcement officers to go to court to seek an involuntary commitment for someone whose substance use is considered dangerous. If a judge approves, a warrant is issued for the person's taken to court, where a psychologist will then determine if the person's substance use is in fact dangerous and if they should be involuntarily committed or, quote, sectioned to a locked facility. More than 5,700 people were committed in Massachusetts in fiscal year 2018, and that's considered, Bob, an aggressive use of involuntary commitments compared with other states. Also, Massachusetts is believed to be the only state that uses jails and prisons to hold those who are civilly committed.
And is that where most people are sent here, to jails and prisons?
Most men, but not women. Women are sent to treatment facilities run by the Department of Public Health and the Department of Mental Health. Women used to be sent to the state prison in Framingham, but that stopped after the state was sued over the practice. Now, there is one DPH facility for men who are sectioned, but most men are sent to the Massachusetts Alcohol and Substance Abuse Center, or MASAC, which is in the former state prison in Plymouth. That's run by the Department of Correction. There's also a facility in Western Mass that's run by the Hampton County Sheriff. In Plymouth, many of the men who've gone through there say the conditions are difficult and not conducive to recovery. We spoke with Joel Kergarevat earlier this year, and he described his time at MASAC in Plymouth.
There were brutal fistfights that went on for 5 minutes before guards would come and break it up. And you know, you'd see blood, you'd hear screaming.
Now, Bob, Kergarevat is one of several people who testified this year before a special state commission that's been looking at Section 35.
Also this year, Deb, you brought us the story of a family that blames the suicide of their son on his experience at MASAC.
Yeah, that's the story of 32-year-old Sean Wallace. He struggled with opioid addiction for years. He was sent to Plymouth, and he had been taking the addiction medication methadone. When he got to Plymouth, they would not provide the methadone, which he said was a very difficult withdrawal. He also said the conditions in Plymouth were tough and traumatic. We actually met Sean shortly after his release from Plymouth in 2017. He took his life in 2018. His mother, Robin Wallace, also testified before that state commission I mentioned, Bob, and she told us that she still struggles with the decision that she made to section Sean.
My culpability, that's something that I have to live with, is the fact that I was the one who did the Section 35. I was the one that precipitated, his father and I precipitated that, in the hopes that his life would be better and that he would get help. And instead what happened was his life got much, much worse.
Now, Bob, Robin Wallace is an addiction counselor, and she says she believes there is a place for forced treatment, but it shouldn't be in correctional facilities. And that was one of the key recommendations from the Section 35 Commission when it released its report this year.
At the same time, though, Deb, there are defenders of that approach. One says while treatment in jails could be improved, it is an approach that's working. And that is the sheriff of Hampton County, Nick Cochi, who you reported on this summer.
That's right, Bob. Sheriff Cochi had a gathering Gathering over the summer, and he was talking about his program, the wing that he opened in his jail for civilly committed men. So here's a clip of that story describing the program, starting with Sheriff Cochey.
Over 860 people have come through our doors in 1 year. Less than 5% have been recommitted. That's the best numbers around the Commonwealth.
The sheriff says his program is successful because the average stay is 45 days, longer than most treatment programs. He also says his staff focuses on helping men plan for when they leave. One of the first men to go through the program spoke at the sheriff's gathering. Keith, who only wanted his first name used because of the stigma of addiction, credits program staff with saving his life.
They stayed with me throughout my recovery, which is huge because most of these people are wearing badges, and, you know, I'm used to them telling me to lock in or cuff up, you know.
Now, Bob, Sheriff Cochey's been lobbying lawmakers to allow his program to continue in the jail because he says there are few services in Western Massachusetts, and he says his program could be a model for others.
Let's look ahead in this way, Deb. There are recommendations to improve the system, as I understand it, and there's also a lawsuit pending. So are there major changes coming to all this in the new year?
I would expect so. Prisoners Legal Services has filed suit. In part, that suit claims gender discrimination because the state stopped sending civilly committed women to correctional facilities. The men from Plymouth in the lawsuit allege that they're forced to wear prison garb, they're strip searched, they're often denied addiction and psychiatric medications. And I visited Plymouth in 2017, Bob, and I can tell you it very much seems like the prison that it is. Also, there have been hearings on a bill that would prohibit the state from sending those who are civilly committed to correctional facilities.
So then the debate on this is going to continue in 2020.
I would say yes. I should also mention a WBUR poll this year where we asked about this issue, and 57% of the respondents said they know someone who struggled with addiction to heroin and other opioids, and almost half of the respondents said that they are strongly opposed to using jails and prisons for those civilly committed, but the other half said they support it.
Okay, WBUR's Deborah Becker, thanks for your reporting on this through this year, and we'll talk about it more next year.
Thanks, Bob.